You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think that the question in the end of the day to me is not online or face-to-face. The question, the key point is, how do I make it memorable? How do I make it personal? How do I make you resonate with what you are doing?
Why did I become an executive coach? I saw lots of great people fail to get ahead at work, while their much less talented peers blew right past them. That made me furious, but also curious. What were great people getting wrong? It came down to helping them re-examine what drove success and then helping them make critical shifts, one hard truth at a time.
Feel like you're doing everything you were told, but you're not moving ahead at work nor having the impact you seek? Then welcome to 97% Effective with Michael Winderoth, where we skip feel-good, happy talk and engage experts in pointed conversations about what it really takes to move the needle at work and your career. So if you feel stalled or frustrated or seek that extra edge as you move to the next level, then look no further. This is the Hard Truths Playbook you never got.
Hi, I'm Michael Winderoth, and you're listening to 97% Effective. Hybrid working is the new normal. But chances are you're still trying to figure out how to best adapt to the mix of remote and in-person work. How do you exercise power influence online to collaborate, lead, and get results? While everyone, and I mean everyone, has an opinion on this topic, today we're going to talk to someone who has been an engine behind top-ranked global executive education programs to tap into his expertise in learning and development and ed tech. We'll discuss what he learned, what works, what doesn't, around communication, collaboration, leading, and discuss what we can apply to navigate the workplace and our careers effectively. A global scholar and executive, my guest today is Dr. Ignacio Gaffo. He is the head of HSLU, Lucerne University of Applied Sciences and Arts. His industry experience comes in technology and professional services at Vodafone, Mars, and Canon, and leading learning and development, most recently at IE Business School in Madrid, Spain, where he served as associate dean on their top-ranked global executive education programs. Dr. Gaffo holds a PhD in marketing and communications at the Complutense University in Madrid, and speaks and lectures globally, in person and online. Dr. Gaffo, great to be able to be here today to talk about navigating the online, the hybrid world with you today. A pleasure to have you on 97% Effective.
Great topic. Thank you for the invitation, Michael. I'm very happy to be here.
Dr. Gaffo, let's get personal right away and dive in. You've been for a long time at the forefront of learning and development online, ed tech, professor, associate dean, overseeing demanding executive education programs. So you've had lots of successes. But to get personal, could you share, you know, one mistake you made in those developing those programs, the transition to online, the bringing hybrid together? Just one off the bat that we could learn from.
I've made many mistakes. Let me share one of them. The biggest one is basically trying to replicate what you do in face-to-face when moving online. I think that's a very, very common mistake. Online works differently. So don't try to replicate what you do in face-to-face. That will not work.
And so we're going to dive into what do we need to avoid and not replicate, what doesn't move across the two mediums as well, and what are advantages to the online medium that we maybe should be doing more of. Again, the topic here, exercising power and influence online versus in person. Do you have a personal definition or way that you like to get people to think about influence or power?
One definition I like is influencing is about making people doing things they don't want to do, or making people doing things that in principle they're not very eager to do it, no? So that has to do, it has to do with the process of how do I make it work, no?
You said at the very outset, things don't port over as well from face-to-face to online. But is there a hard truth that you'd like to call out, particularly as you think about navigating it here at the outset?
I think there are two things, no? The first thing would be, you need to be very clear about what online is good for, what face-to-face is good for. The second thing is the key in the end of the day for influencing people, for making them do what they might not want to do, is to make it personal. So in the end of the day, what you want to do is you want to look for the right way of communicating with people in a personal way.
So what is better face-to-face? What is better online?
Let me start with online. So I think online is very good for transactional work, or maybe when you want to work collaboratively, not real time, in the sense that we might be working on a document together and we are providing the input, right? So for everything that is transactional, for everything that is collaboratively in a remote way, I think online is a fantastic tool, or maybe also for information, right? When I want to pass on information, online could work out nicely. However, when we are thinking about bonding, when we're thinking about motivation, when we're thinking about engaging people, face-to-face is going to make the difference. So at the end of the day, if you think about that, it's about blending, not making sure that we are getting the best out of each word.
This idea of blending, although there's been a lot of calls to come back to the office, almost all of my clients now are living in a world where they can be 2 days at home or 3 days at home or wherever remote, and then 2 days in the office. If someone's got that schedule, some nuances here that you might call out about how you're spending your time.
Think about yourself, not before COVID, how you were working in the office, right? And probably you were spending some time alone, or you were spending some time reflecting or thinking or doing some administrative jobs, no? So I would say those things that you were doing by yourself, right? Those are things that you can do it in a very nice way online, right? Most of it is going to be jobs you do by yourself, or maybe things you share with other people and ask them to provide you with input, not real time, but at some point, no? So the point is, when you go to face-to-face, okay, you have to make sure to make good use of time. So in other words, make sure that you've done all the work that can be automated, or maybe all the work that you need to reflect on, and make sure that when you meet face-to-face, that you're going to optimize that. And it's not only about work, as I suggested before. So, of course, you may want to think about nice projects or maybe discuss real time about that or get your thoughts, Michael, on this and that. That's great. And we can have and build a great strategy probably doing that. But also face-to-face is going to be critical for bonding, for creating the personal relationships. And that's something unique, something you need to spend the time with, no? Because some people get nervous, no? I go to face-to-face, I don't have 2 days in the office, I need to get the most out of it. So I don't spend time socializing, or I don't spend time going for lunch with colleagues. That's extremely important as well, right? That's time you are really, really investing well.
You've got me thinking about a client that I had. It was very interesting. The company was entirely remote. And they did a once a quarter, they called it an on-site, where they brought everyone together, right? A flip on the offsite, and onsite where everyone around the region flew into a hotel or a nice place because they had no permanent office, and they did this bonding. You've talked a lot about people and doing things in person. So when you talk about bonding, I think people's first image goes to these, you know, ropes courses and stuff like that. Is that the type of stuff that cements those bonds? Is it lunches or other ways there that can really facilitate the bonding when you're in person?
Well, it's bonding can take place in different ways, no? So again, you may want to adapt a bit to your audience, no? So it's not the same if you're speaking with people in their early 20s than older people, no? So that's the first consideration I would make, no? So beware, you know, about different approaches, different ways. You may want to create that connection, that bonding, no? In the end of the day, what you want to do is you want to create the right space, Michael, to be with people, to feel people, to see how people are reacting, no? And then once you've created that connection, and that's something that happens very well when you are face-to-face, if you are smart enough, right? Then it can lead to different things, no? But again, it's not the same way you're going to engage. You're going to bond with very young audiences than with older ones, no? Older ones, probably you need to be a bit more formal, you know? When you speak to younger audiences, it should be more dynamic. You need to make sure it's a space where they're going to be able to collaborate, to engage, etc. No, I think that's very relevant. No, and it's interesting. No, for instance, I work with quite a few companies all around the world on education, and there's clearly a big demand for face to face. No, but what we do in face to face is not so much delivering content, is making sure we create the connections within people, right? Once the connection is set, then you can go online and things are going to flow. But the first thing is to create that connection. If I go back, for instance, to IE Business School, or I connect with some courses I launched with the MIT, that's exactly what we did. The first thing that should happen is you need to go and create a face-to-face experience so people can connect, people can know each other, and then they go online and believe me, it will work extremely well. But first, you need to make that connection, right? So I think sometimes we get misguided. No, we want to do as much as possible, etc. No, you have to be very precise. You have to be laser focused. You have to be clear, okay, about what's going to work here. What's the most I can get from this and that, no? But the foundation, you know, when you move online, if you want to influence people online first, make sure you have that connection. Building that connection online, I could say it's very hard. On the other hand, my experience tells me is if I've created that connection with you face-to-face, then we can maybe spend 1 year without seeing each other. But the connection is going to be there, right? The foundation is going to be very solid. It's going to work out.
You've been listening to 97% Effective with your host, Executive Coach Michael Winderoth. If this interview is making you think, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, back to our interview.
And share here, because you alluded to some work you did at MIT. I know a little bit of the backstory here, so I want to call this out. You shifted one of the programs, integrated more face-to-face, and actually sales and satisfaction went up in that program. Share a little bit about that, because I think this is an important element of how you strategically use the face-to-face to build that bond and to get better results, right? Impact in this case, in the definition of that program.
So for instance, in the case of the MIT, something which is absolutely essential about that university and makes it unique is the values they have, how they approach technology, how they view the world. And that's something, Michael, I can tell you, I can break here any professor, all of them are fantastic. And probably you're going to be amazed, you know, and you will have a hype, etc. However, what's going to really make the difference is when you go to campus, when you go there, you see the values by yourself, you experiment it, you know, I provide you with the right experience, and then you say, okay, I really feel it. I make it my own experience, right? And again, those are things that you really can make in a very proper way if you bring them, in this case, to the MIT campus, right? If you see the dome, if you get the atmosphere, if you see and you touch history, that's what you do. And that's, in this case, how we really made it. It made a very, very big difference, not because people were really, really amazed, you know? And MIT did a great job in terms of transmitting, you know, the vision, the values, how they work, no? And we did that by starting the program in the MIT. Then they went online for a long time, and then they ended up in the MIT because, again, we wanted to make them feel that they were part of something very, very big. And of course, you can try out online, and you have some programs online which are amazing. But still, you know, in the moment you're there, in the moment you touch, it makes a difference, no? So it's not only about people, if you think about that. It's also about the physical place, right? Mm. And by the way, this has nothing to do with any nationality, okay? We have people from all around the world. You might say, no, this nationality is better, or this other is, no. It works out for Germans, Spanish, Americans, Latin Americans, Chinese people, etc. Okay, this is a, if I may use the word, a universal truth.
Mm. And that works also because just a moment ago you talked about different generations, right? And we typically think of the generation now, whatever they're called, are used to everything online, right? The metaverse, so to speak. But it sounds like that physical presence enabling the bonding still is important, crosses generations as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's out of discussion, right? The change you may want to do is the sort of dynamics you introduce when you go to a physical instance, right? So you may, for instance, if you speak with younger audiences, you may want to do more gamification or different things like that. Maybe it's all older audiences, it's going to be softer, you know, it's going to be more reflective work, you know. But in the end of the day, the foundation, which is what we're speaking about, right? The physical need, if I may use that word, that's happening transversely throughout every single generation.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny, no? And it happens to me as well in learning and development, the corporate world. Everybody, you know, wants to combine online with physical. It doesn't matter how old you are,
yeah,
how techy you are, right? So it has nothing to do with that.
And so now our corporations are following suit and starting to do that. And what I'm taking away here is there's really that importance when you think about bonding, the in-person, take advantage of that medium. And then for things, collaboration, asynchronous working online can very much suit itself towards that. I want to tap into your expertise here because I know it's around ed tech and learning, and introduce a constraint.
Yeah.
So imagine we go back to remote. All of a sudden, you don't have those days of bonding or periodic days of bonding. That's eliminated. We go back all online. How does one, especially a leader, think about what they need to do if it does go back all online? How are you going to facilitate that bonding?
Yeah, and that could happen, no? Even if you want to do something face-to-face, you may have budget restrictions, so people are scattered all around the world. So that's very plausible. It's something that at some point it can happen. If that's the case, I think that the big question you have to ask and respond is, how do I make it personal? You know, how can I connect with Michael on a personal basis, right? And this is not just about, by the way, setting up a Zoom call. Hey, Michael, I'm here, blah, blah, blah. No, yeah. I think it goes a little beyond that, right? But that's in a nutshell, because technology is evolving a lot, right? So think about, okay, how can I make it personal for this person? How can I make this person feel that I see that person, I care about this person, I understand that person, and I take care of that person, right? In a physical space, okay, probably you're going to get more information, it's going to be easier. But if you're forced to move online, look for those spaces, right? Mm. And again, you might say, no, I have 20 people in my team, 30 people in my team. Well, it's essential that you have that space. And by the way, maybe you just want to have a coffee, right? That's something we do in the corporate world, right? You ask, hey, Michael, can we have a coffee? Emulate that. Maybe when you have a coffee, don't speak about business. Okay, maybe I can ask you about your family or how you're doing or what's troubling you, etc. And those are things you have to do, right? It has to be natural. It has to be authentic. But that will certainly make a difference. At some point also, we might want to think, okay, it's impossible not to meet with everybody. If that's the case, and we are realistic, you know, maybe you have 200 people working for you, pick up the right people, no? Pick up the key people that you need to connect with, and maybe ask them to do the same thing with other people so that everybody in the end of the day gets connected, no?
Yeah. Dr. Goffo, you have also recently made a shift. So you have left IE, you're now at HSLU. I have always seen when an expert moves organizations, they're able to do some new things or things that they have always wanted to do. Anything that you've implemented in your new program or you're planning to implement that you think is going to move the needle a lot?
Yeah, so maybe I can share with you what I'm working on right now, which is, I think it's going to give you a nice insight. So we're launching a new bachelor in sustainable tourism. Okay, so this is basically for very young people, maybe 18, 19 year old people. And what we did was to try out something new, something different, right? And actually what we did was we did some research, we spoke to young people, we checked out what they really wanted. And it surprised me a lot what came out. Because basically people wanted two things. They wanted to have, and again, we speak about the learning environment, no? But people wanted to have, first of all, experiences, you know, transformational experiences. And maybe it's a word we use too much, no? Transformational, but life-changing experiences, if you like it more. That was something they wanted. And also, people wanted a lot of flexibility, you know? So I want this to be something that makes an impact on myself, but also I want to have flexibility. And actually, the end design we came up with is basically coming up with a program that takes place in two countries. Okay, so it's a 3-year program. So first year, they come to Madrid. Third year, they go to Switzerland. Very different countries, very different, by the way, the right. kind of experiences you're going to get. But also something that we learned is year two, based on the input we got on the insight, and obviously something that made sense for us is we made it online. So actually, it's split it into two. So on the one hand, these people can connect from any place in the world, and that's something they wanted, you know? Look, I really want the experience, but also I want to have a say on where do I have my experience. So maybe I want to go back to China, or maybe I want to go to Hawaii, or maybe I want to stay in Madrid, no? And so that's something we are offering them. And also they wanted to get some professional experience. Again, they look for different experiences, no? And so also something we are including in year two is a long-term internship. No? So as you can see, we are blending many, many things. Mm-hmm. And this is giving me a lot of interesting insight about how things are evolving. No? So I think we tended to be more structured in our approach, you know, face-to-face or online. No, probably it's the best of each world. That's point number one. Point number two is the approach has to be very different, right? When we go to Spain, when we go to Switzerland, when we go online. So how we teach, how we collaborate, how we interact with people. And also something we are really looking into right now is how do we incorporate artificial intelligence here? Mm. And the key thing, what's really interesting about artificial intelligence is in our case, it's helping us, or it should help us to personalize even more. Right, and this might seem to be like contradictory to you in mm-hmm. the sense that artificial intelligence is basically about automatization, and that's wrong. So artificial intelligence in this case, what's going to help me is to provide you with more personalized learning experiences, right? As long as I can create different content in a very quick way, or I can assess where you are and help you, you know, this is going to help me to create that level of personalization, you see? So again, probably it's about blending things rather than going to the extremes, which I think is the classic mistake we make, you know, when we speak about online or face-to-face. Are you online? Are you face-to-face? No, that's nonsense, right? You want the best from each word. In the end of the day, again, what we want to do is we want to resonate, make people resonate with what we do. That's going to come through making it personal. How do I make personal? Well, I have a bunch of tools. You know, I can have face-to-face, I can have online. Mm. Each one has its own benefits. And the same thing with technologies. Technologies are extremely good if we make a proper use of them, right? And going back to artificial intelligence, it will help me, for sure, to personalize, you know, to come up with something which is adapted to you, Michael. And then if you feel that, hey, it will definitely be the time of your life, you know? And that's the way we are working. Obviously, this is not something you can from one day to another. It requires a lot of testing as well. No? Mm-hmm. There are some things we don't know, you know, but you have to see how they work. No? And going back to corporate, it's the same thing, right? We have to give us space and freedom, you know, to experiment a bit, okay? To make a big bang, okay? And make small changes, see how they work, learn quickly, and adapt, no? I think that's what's going to happen, no?
And that program, which sounds very exciting that you're undertaking, is that one that you've started from scratch or existing program that you're modifying?
No. The good thing, well, this is something we launched with United Nations. Uh-huh. So we have the freedom to come up with a program from scratch. I think that was really, really interesting because usually you have some legacy or you have a program that you're going to update. No. The good thing is in this case, we had the freedom to come up with something completely new, no?
Yeah.
So very cool, very interesting.
Well, if there was anyone built and designed to do that, who has the experience to do it, it is you. Dr. Goffo, to end here, when it comes to online, in-person, hybrid, the cutting edge, I know there's something I've missed. Is there anything I didn't ask that you would like to add here as we come to an end?
I think we touched on the main messages, no? So again, I think that the question in the end of the day to me is not online or face-to-face. The question, the key point is, how do I make it memorable? How do I make it personal? How do I make you resonate with what you are doing? Okay, and I think that as long as we don't forget that, okay, and we put things in perspective, and by this I mean understanding clearly what are the benefits of the different options I have, face-to-face, online, in new technologies, etc. I'm going to get it right. I'm absolutely sure you're going to get it right, you know. But don't get lost in details, no. Don't get lost in the methodology, you know. What's the ultimate objective? The ultimate objective is inspiring you or motivating you or helping you to do a job. Okay, if this is the case, what's the best route I have, no? And then it will work. It will boost.
Yeah. Make it memorable. I want to take that away. And what is the best route for people to reach you and to see what you're doing?
So you can contact me at LinkedIn. Okay, I have a very unique name, Ignacio Goffo, right? So anyone interested, please reach me out. We'll be happy to keep on speaking about this with you.
Yeah. Fantastic. Dr. Goffo, thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to 97% Effective, where we skip happy talk and help you break through and ascend one hard truth at a time. Help others discover this show. Leave a review and rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what you heard, you can get free resources, including the first chapters of Michael's book, Get Promoted, on his website, www.changwinderoth.com. That's www.changwenderoth.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.